all my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle paid the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life.
Welcome to Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com, Facebook Live, Twitter, Periscope. We got it all. Sterling Holmes live in studio. Darren Smith rocking his sunglasses in his home studio. Is it bright there, Darren? Is it to block out the haters?
It is. It's that too. You know what I'm saying? Whether they on Twitter, Facebook, station, I don't know, man. I gotta block it all out. Plus, I've been looking for these looks for some time. They've been in my Escalade for a minute. So I finally got a chance to, you know, I was going through trying to look for some paperwork to, you know, register the truck this week, and I found them. So I was like, you know, I mean, the sun started coming back out. I needed it.
Darren finally doing stuff legally. We are joined later on in the show by Jeffrey Flanagan.
Me out there like that.
I'm kidding. But we are joined by Jeffrey Flanagan at 3:30 to talk some Royals baseball. But for the entire hour, the entire show, we're joined by sports director Todd Lebo. Todd, how you doing?
I just want to know why Darren's rolling around in that Escalade. What happened to that Mercedes?
He's got both.
Have we told that story yet?
Saturday morning.
I didn't want to tell your business on
here. Yeah, actually, we did.
You already talked about it. Okay.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. It's a blessing in disguise.
I got rear-ended pretty good.
These sunglasses because you got rear-ended in the other car. See? It works out perfect.
Well, hold on. But the other thing is, it's always good to have two vehicles because, you know, I've had people like, oh, you need to get rid of your other truck. Like, why would I want to get rid of it? It's paid off. It's paid for. Situation like this happens, I go from one vehicle to the other.
That's right. You never know when someone's going to run into you and you got another car. Don't worry about it.
Wait, hold on. But here's a crazy thing to talk about. I think I may have told this to Sterling. I was actually, you know, once I got my Escalade re-tagged up and, you know, got the renewals on the license plates, I go get the oil change because I figure I'm going to be driving there for a minute. So I get the oil change. I drive across the street from there to the gas station. As I pull out or as I pull around, a vehicle is starting to pull back and almost hit me as well. So I'm like, how many car accidents can a man get into? Thankfully, they didn't hit me, but, you know, I kind of wish they did because they looked like they had insurance too. So, you know, I'd have probably been more than happy.
You're a magnet right now, man.
Well, I feel like Mitchell Schwartz right now.
All for the wrong reason.
Mitchell Schwartz going into surgery, having a fantastic report, looking like he is going to be back for the 2021 season, put on Twitter and Instagram that he wasn't healthy. He thought he was going to be healthy. Never happened, but he's getting this much-needed surgery and should be back for next season. This is the biggest, greatest news that Kansas City possibly could have hoped for. Lebo, I'll start with you. How big is this for Kansas City?
Well, it gives you some peace of mind on that spot. You know, he waited a long time to see if they could kind of work it out without surgery on the back. Backs are very tricky, you know, for sure. But the way he explained it and his wife explained it on the social media today, this procedure went well, and it's something that the recovery should be fairly quick from. You never know with a back. Yeah. You never know. But we know how long it takes to come back from an Achilles. So Eric Fisher is going to be out of touch.
At least until week 8, probably.
Yeah, and you, we saw what it was like to not have both of those guys in the game. It wasn't all that great. They were able to make it through with just one of them and, you know, shuffling the thing around and got through. But when you didn't have either one of them, that was kind of rough news. So that's nice news to have Schwartz go through the surgery, and hopefully it all went well and the recovery goes well. And, you know, it's – you hope that it all works out and you don't have issues with the back. Once you start having those back issues, it can be a real problem for him. But that's good news for the Chiefs because, you know, you're going to have to start thinking about what are you going to do here, because what they had on Super Bowl Sunday wasn't going to cut it.
No.
They needed to do something better than that, whether it was, you know, with their draft picks or in the, you know, free agency. But it's nice to think that you've got at least Mitchell Schwartz back, because he was a very good performer for the Chiefs. Probably underrated as far as, you know, I think he was very highly thought of in the biz.
Yeah.
Everyone, you know, the people in the know how well he did, but he performed at a Pro Bowl level for this team for kind of a bargain, right? This wasn't a monstrous free agent signing, and he's been very good, and they weren't as good without him.
It was not a large signing by any means, as far as one, when it first happened, and two, his contract. He's not getting paid the Laremy Tunsil money. I believe to cut him, if the Chiefs were, they would only save $6 million against the cap. So the fact he's going to be back and healthy is massive, and it's not going to take an arm and a leg for him to be on the books.
My question, though, Lebo, is that, and I think his salary is $6 million versus whether or not he, if he got cut, that's what they would say. But with that being a salary, if you're the Chiefs, obviously, you know, Sterling, I talked a little bit about it yesterday, that if you convert Patrick Mahomes' signing, his roster bonus to a signing bonus, that would open up or free up $17 million. I'm still trying to figure that math equation out. But that being the case, if you're the Chiefs, are you looking to try to renegotiate contracts, whether it's Mitchell Schwartz or others on that team, to not only keep them there but to free up more additional salary cap space where you can look at bringing in a left tackle in Eric Fisher's absence? I know we're talking about an Achilles, and Achilles is usually a year recovery. So I don't, you know, I know Sterling mentioned week 8, but that's kind of like Kevin Durant when he was with the Golden State Warriors. It took every bit of a year. And even that time, so I wouldn't see him coming back into the playoffs if he plays at all next season for the Kansas City Chiefs. So if you're the Chiefs, would you not look at trying to free up additional money space? Granted, you're going to be looking for tackles anyway in a draft or maybe in free agency, but, you know, but the level of the free agent that you can possibly get at left tackle, you know, may or may not make a difference if you got additional money saved up by other players renegotiating their contracts.
Yeah, they're going to always be working on things like that. I mean, we know they're going to – and Mahomes, the reason they signed the contract they signed him to is he seems like he's going to be someone who will do whatever it takes to make it work for the team. So if he can help by doing anything, I think he'll do that. I mean, that's why he signed this contract with all this flexibility. As far as, you know, Fisher, you just don't know the way these things go. You recall, you know, Derek Johnson – he got hurt in December in 2016. It was the Raiders game, that Thursday night game.
Yeah,
he played opening week the next year. So, I mean, you know, he was able to go then. Now, Fisher got hurt a little bit later. It's a month later.
Sure.
It's a different position, but, I mean, it's not – Derek Johnson's a freaking linebacker.
Yeah.
And he was out there playing. So, I think – I don't know when he's going to be available. I don't think he'll be available week one. He's certainly not going to go through minicamp and OTAs and things like that. But, you know, Fisher's also expensive. I mean, it's a nasty business. Maybe you're to the point where you're like, well, you're not going to be 100% ready. But he's also someone who was the first draft pick by Andy Reid when he was here. And if they were able to do something with his contract, he's probably someone who would be amiable to working that out and, you know, getting a little something on the end of it and making it more palatable now. We heard Brett Veach during Super Bowl week on the Zoom when he was available saying if they thought the salary cap was going to come in at $180 to $185 million, that they were in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
You know, so I think they feel like they're in decent enough shape, but they're not going to – this. I don't think this is going to have quite the same run-it-back feel. There's going to be a few more changes.
It's best 2 out of 3, you mean?
Yeah. It's like, I mean, last time, almost everybody came back. It was basically Kendall Fuller and, you know, Stefan Wisniewski. He wasn't really a guy.
And but then I mean, came, you know, back for halfway.
Yeah. So I think there will probably be some more changes than just that this time around, because it's just kind of, gosh, you look around and teams just change so much in a couple of years. And they've had a pretty good core together on the offensive side for a while. And, you know, there could be some other changes as well. I mean, they're hopeful that Laurent Duvernay-Tardif will come back from his opt-out, and that'll change the offensive line a little bit as well. But, I mean, I know he says he wants to, but I don't know. I'm not counting anything until it's done anymore, if you're coming back or not coming back.
My best guess would be Lucas Niang would get first crack at left tackle if they're going to keep Eric Fisher on the
FYI,
books.
It's also guys never taken a snap in any way professional football.
I'm not disagreeing with you. Yeah. I'm just saying I think that'd be the best bet right now if you're looking at the roster and what the Chiefs have to work with. the same thing would be said if they drafted the left tackle at 31. It's same
situation.
He'd be
a guy who's never played either, yeah.
Niang was very good in college at right tackle. He obviously had some things he needed to work on, but he has the size and ability to become a prototypical
left tackle. Fisher's just got 1 year left on his deal, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, are you going to – I don't know what they're going to do.
I mean, because you cut him, it's $12 million. It's not like it's a $2 million savings. This
I
is
could
a
see
large
him saying,
savings.
Hey, let's add a couple of years to this and then make it more palatable this year. You know, make the puzzle pieces work. Veach has been very good at this.
Yeah, he's been extremely good at this. I feel a little bit like Mitchell Schwartz right now, though.
I'm not worried about the Chiefs fielding a football team this year.
No, they will get it figured out.
Yeah.
I went and got my kidney stones checked today because I thought I was having kidney stones problems.
Yeah, where you had a little blood in the urine?
No, but I
just
but
aches and
my
pains?
Kidneys were hurt. Well, they were killing me. And I'm like,
I've had several kidney stones.
Have
I'll talk you?
You
through it.
Dude, I don't want to piss out a rock. That's not what I'm trying to do here. So I went and got it checked. I'm good. I'm golden.
Yeah?
I'm golden.
Would they do a little MRI on you?
No.
Shoot the dye in there?
No, I just peed, and they're like, no, you're good. And I'm like, okay. Oh, sweet. But I feel like Mitchell Schwartz because that was similar.
Stop drinking all that damn coffee.
Right here. Quick Trip, baby.
Coffee
doesn't
give
you kidney
stones.
Stop drinking all that coffee, you'd be okay.
Pop and stuff like that.
Oh, I don't drink soda.
Well, we don't know that.
So I'm good.
I know about the kidney stones. What's your salt in your diet? Too much salt?
Oh, bleeping love salt. Yeah. I put salt on.
Maybe chill the salt a little bit.
It's too good, though.
I know. Well, you want to pee a rock out? Because I've done it. More than once. I'm going to tell you something, Sterling. You don't want it.
Multiple times. So you didn't learn your lesson the first time, what you're saying.
It's been a while since I've had one, but I've had several in my life. I've got stories for days on kidney
stones. I am kind of curious. Still, now we kind of talked about this week, but you know, some of the recent names that have been released: J.J. Watt, Von Miller. Obviously, we had Chris Jones on the Zone yesterday, talking with Jason Anderson, where he talked about possibly wanting to play or having J.J. Watt come to Kansas City. Do you see Kansas City or Brett Veach, Clark Hunt making any type of move that would bring a name, a known commodity to Kansas City? For their chance to play for Super Bowl. Obviously, you know, Von Miller's already won one Super Bowl MVP. But, you know, the fact that the Broncos aren't going to pick up his contract for next year, going to make him a free agent. Perhaps he may want to come to Kansas City, get back at the Broncos, hopefully elevate Frank Clark's play, get him another Super Bowl ring. Do you see a scenario where the Chiefs could bring either one of these two defensive players or maybe another big name into Kansas City for less than market value?
I don't know. Those are awful big names. I don't think there's going to be real bargains for them. I mean, J.J. Watt's not going to sign some 8-year deal, okay? I mean, he's an older guy now, but I just don't see that kind of move for this team. I think they realize their bigger problems are making sure Patrick Mahomes is protected. And if they do that, the good news, like we said, about Schwartz today, but they're going to probably spend some capital on that. I don't think, just reading between the lines here, that Brett Veach was thinking, oh, $180 million is okay, we'll be fine with what we have, and we'll be able to sign J.J. Watt. I don't think that's possible. I appreciate Chris Jones saying I'd love to have him here. Of course you would. But think about that. Are they really going to have a defensive line with Chris Jones, Frank Clark, and J.J. Watt? I mean, if J.J. Watt will come play for nothing, you know, or the league minimum maybe, but I would think he's going to have suitors.
About $12 million, wouldn't you say?
Would be a pretty good number for him, and I don't think the Chiefs should be spending money like that at that position.
You don't want $50 million
books? I don't disagree, but you know, but I'm also seeing what has kind of trended over the last couple years. I mean, look, you look at a Tom Brady, obviously he's always taking less than market value if it means trying to win, put themselves in a position to win a Super Bowl. J.J. Watt's never won one. Now, you can go after the money, that's fine, and nobody's going to begrudge you. And of course, you know, maybe there are other places that might have more cap room that may be quote unquote a Super Bowl contender. But my mind frame, what I've always told Sterling, that if you're saying that you want to win a Super Bowl, you want to win a title, there's only so many places that have a legit opportunity to do that, and you have to obviously work with the salary cap. Now you can go because of the money that you may have made prior to this, to where you are right now, to where, you know, you can be like a Sammy Watkins, where Sammy Watkins knew that, look, either take a pay cut and come back or get cut and go somewhere else and, you know, let the chips fall where they may.
I'm with you, Darren. I think
championship.
Yeah, I mean, the Kansas City would be a place where people would want to come to try to do that. Think about this. Is maybe this is crazy. Is J.J. Watt any good?
Yes.
Anymore?
Yes. If you want to look at his deep dive,
you're going to give you some DVOAs or something.
No, but I'll give you. He was 15th out of 119 when it came to pass rush win rate, which is a pretty good number. That's not getting super analytical. That's just basically saying he beats his man.
Right. Does something good, causes a pressure, makes someone
pressure,
do something.
Yeah. And that 15th best in the NFL. That's still an asset. Yeah, he only had what, 5 sacks. And you could say
four the year before,
and sure, and
he's only played 2 full seasons in the last
five years, and that's where my concern is. I think he still has the talent. I still think he has the motor, and I still think there's enough left in the tank. To me, the concerns are the injury concerns. He played what, 16 games this past season, and then he played eight
the year before, and then 16 the year before that,
and then two,
5 and 3. I mean,
it's been.
I like the guy. I think he's got a great motor but I mean, you know, I don't know. That seems to be wishful thinking to think that he would be on this line. But I'd take him for the price. I'd take Von Miller. Well, but Von Miller hasn't officially been released, right?
That I don't know if it's been official or not.
No, but they've already said that they're not going to pick up his $18 million a year option, which will essentially make him a free agent. Now, again,
but they could still negotiate with him, right?
Money.
Could they still negotiate with him? And
they could.
Okay. But I mean, Von Miller's younger than him, right? Von Miller's younger than him.
My thing is,
and what's his? What do you call it? Win rate, Sterling.
Pass rush win.
Well, I put it like this:
they're both 31. Actually, they're the same age. They're both 31.
Well, again, I would rather put my money on Miller because, you know, outside of last year, you know, because of the injury that took place right before the start of the season, you know, I don't think he's been as injured as J.J. Watt. Plus, I think that because he was just all pro 2 years ago, he feels internally that he may have something to prove. And if he comes to Kansas City, do you really not think that, of course, you know, Derek Thomas being his role model, he would, you know, the Chiefs would probably grace him and bless him to wear number 58. He would not only play at that level, get back to all pro level, but he would also make Frank Clark raise his level of play just by playing alongside with him. And I don't know, you know, look, that's just me being somebody who used to play back in the day. I mean, you get somebody that good that's on your team, you're going to want to elevate your play to be, you know, to be put in the same status. And plus, if Von Miller was to outplay Frank Clark, well, Brett Veach is going to look like, well, we're going to pay Von Miller Frank Clark money and cut Frank Clark and move on. So, and again, for someone who's been a Super Bowl MVP, who knows what it takes to win, I think that, you know, his level of play, that he wants to come back and show that he's still that all-pro player. If he was to come to Kansas City, I think that would be a boon to the defense and also a boon to get the best out of Frank Clark that we have not seen just yet.
Well, they play a little bit of a – I mean, J.J. Watt's like a defensive end, and Von Miller's usually called an outside linebacker. I don't know which one fits in better in Spagnuolo's scheme or whatever. Von Miller's been much more durable. Now, he missed his whole last year, but he had COVID in the offseason, all that stuff. But for the most part, he plays 15, 16 games a year.
Sure, yeah.
You know, and J.J. Watt has missed big chunks of other games. They're very similar. You know, they're both 100-sack guys. $100 million guys, you know, all that kind of stuff. They're both good enough. You'd find a place for them to be in your franchise. They are, but I wouldn't invest anything long term in someone who's that old. I mean, the dudes are in their 30s now. That's not something. I mean, how Justin Houston is not? Is he about the same age as them?
Sure. Yeah, he's probably. I'd bet he's a year younger. Let me look this one up for you.
Because, I mean, he's still performing. He's still performing, right?
Yeah.
At a decent level. They all came into the league the same year. They all came in the league in 2011. All of those guys did. And they've been
so long ago.
I know. It really is. But they've all been good, right? I mean, they've been fine. But I don't think any of them deserves. I mean, what did Justin Houston get in Indianapolis? A couple-year deal?
Yeah. J.J. Watt is probably looking at a 2-year, $24 million deal. That's probably my best guess. Von Miller's probably going to be in the exact same range. My thing is, if you're Kansas City, you already have $40-plus million tied into two guys on your D-line. The salary cap's sitting at $180 million. I'm not going to throw another $12 million and spend $52 million-plus on a defensive line that underproduced last year. I'm not doing that. It's a sunk cost. You got to pay. You got to pay Frank Clark that $20+ million, whether you like it or not. I'm not going to add and put more into a singular problem.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and Houston's been, he got hurt right after he got paid in Kansas City. I mean, he's never the thing you can say about all three of those guys. Their best years they had were in the first like 4 years of their career, and that's pretty standard. I mean, it's just hard to maintain 20 sacks when you're like 29 years old and you start getting hurt. But, I mean, are any of them any better or worse than Justin Houston at this point in their career? And they walked away from him.
Yeah.
Now, they had some other things going on there because I don't think he trusted their doctors and you know, just some different things. But Justin Houston was like a team leader 2 years ago on this team when they were, or I guess it's three seasons ago now, when they were in the AFC Championship game. You know, and they were like, nah, we're done with you. So, I don't know. Sometimes the change of scenery is good. He's been fine, though, right? What's he got? 11? He's had 19 sacks the last 2 years?
Yeah, he was
That's
good.
That's better than these other two guys.
Year. He was better than Frank Clark.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe he didn't fit into what Spags
Chris
wanted
Jones
to do.
Too. Anyway.
That was not better than Chris Jones. They
play different positions, Darren.
That's a terrible take, Darren.
What's his win rate?
It's not a take. I was just going after him.
He's just getting after you, Sterling.
Exactly.
I'm a huge Chris Jones
Which
supporter.
Is easy to do because see how he reacts. I know, so that's why I do that. I'm a Chris Jones supporter as well. Lebo, anything new on Tiger Woods? I know the Los Angeles Kirishani said that in a press conference, I believe it was yesterday, the day before, said that Tiger Woods was not drunk, which I didn't think he was, but that they that the single vehicle crash was purely an accident and no charges.
That's what they're saying. Doesn't look like there's going to be any charges. Have you seen the video? TMZ has video, and they make you click it, and it's like, half a mile before the crash. It's just a car driving down the road.
God, I hate TMZ. Yeah. They're just... Now,
here's my thought. I think there will be some sort of video of this crash somewhere because as many traffic lights and stuff that have videos and as many people have videos on their property and stuff like that, there probably will be something. I'm no expert. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to speculate too deeply here, but from what I looked at, and every map I saw and how people who are neighbors talk about that area, people end up going too fast. There was no traffic out there. It was 7:15 in the morning, and no one goes anywhere anymore in California. So he was humming along pretty good in the TMZ video. I think that it turned into a divided road. I think he startled or wasn't looking, somehow distracted in some way, and then popped up over the median. Then he was in the wrong side. Yeah. Now you're like, I don't know if cars were – we haven't seen anyone pop forward and say, oh, yeah, I was driving down the road. But in the TMZ video, you see like 20 bicycles going down the other side of the street. Who knows what was coming down that other side of the street at that time of the morning. Then you're up there in the freaking, you know, tumbleweeds.
Yeah.
Start flipping your car over. Very lucky he had a seatbelt on. Smart to have his seatbelt on. And, I mean, he's got some devastating injuries to his legs. And whether or not – I mean, he could get a ticket for – you know, causing an accident or something. It doesn't sound like there's any criminal. No. The police out there have said an accident's an accident. It's not a crime to have an accident. It's super unfortunate. It's pretty lucky, honestly, that no one else was hurt in this, because if you end up going on the other side of the road, which is where he was, I mean, he was going, when you see all these accidents, it's a divided road. He was going northbound. He ended up on the southbound side, the other way, on the other side. To not run into someone else on a bike or a car or whatever when you cross all those lanes of traffic and go over a thing, it's pretty fortunate, man. It's super sad to see this happen. And the other side, you sit there and watch all this stuff. It's bad. Like, my wife and I were watching TV this morning, and she's like, why are they bringing up 2009 with this? I'm like, well, just what people do.
They don't let you ever have a redemption story. They don't let you ever... Yeah. Move forward.
What are the two things that have ever happened with Tiger Woods in a car? Well, one time he got in a wreck after getting in a fight with his wife because he got caught cheating. And then another time he was all looped out on Ambien. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with this.
Nothing.
But
zero.
But what it was Tiger was in a car and there were it was a wreck or the police were there. Well, that I don't get it. But that's – and now here we are talking about it. I just fell into the trap. And I don't like it.
Lebo, you fell into the trap.
I was mad. I was like, they're watching ABC this morning. I'm like, this doesn't belong here.
I get irrationally irritated.
Yeah, this is about what happened yesterday.
It was an accident.
Yeah.
And accidents happen.
Yeah. It's bad, though. I mean, there wasn't a lot of traffic out there. He was distracted, I would think, in some way. Otherwise, that wouldn't have happened. You know?
It's California. Those roads, though. I mean, again, like you said, maybe he was looking at the view, too. I mean,
he could be doing anything. And it's not, listen, he doesn't live there. It's not his neighborhood. It's not his car. This was a car from the Genesis Golf Tournament the week before. So you're in a car you've been in for a few days. We've all been in rental cars. I mean, when Darren's in a different car in his fleet, you know, you've been in it for a while. You don't know what it's like to be in that car. You know, maybe it wasn't exactly, you know, comfortable in the car. I mean, all kinds of things. I don't like it when I drive my daughter's car. She'll be home from college or something. I'll drive it for a while and go put some gas in it. I don't like it. I'm not familiar with it,
yeah.
You know. You get used to your stuff.
I like my Jeep. I like sitting up high.
You know where you are in that
thing.
I know
what I'm doing. If I hit a curb, I'm okay.
On a road that wasn't particularly his road, in a state that's not his state anymore. I mean, he's from California. It was a long time ago. And he was in a car that wasn't his car. But it was a beautiful sunny day. I mean, it wasn't like there was fog because early yesterday, I was watching some of the coverage on these LA stations. They're like, sometimes it gets marine layer down there. And everyone's like, no, clear day. In this video you see on TMZ, it's super clear. Beautiful day. I mean, perfect morning. And it's an accident, and it's bad. But, you know, I hope he's going to be – those are bad, bad breaks on his leg. It's a little bit – I mean, it's worse breaks than, like, Alex Smith got. Mm. Both compound – fractures to the lower part of your leg. What you hope is you don't end up with it. I mean, Alex Smith's problem was infection.
Yeah.
His surgery all went fine. He was going to be quote unquote okay. You always have to worry about infection when you have any compound fracture. You just have to, because your bones aren't supposed to break through your skin.
Oh, dude, that
just adds another thing.
I got blood drawn today, and I almost passed out. So
this was a long surgery he had yesterday. You know, they did a lot of work. They put a lot of hardware in those legs. And he's got a long way to go to get back to just be able to walk and do things like that. Forget about golf and all that stuff right now. You know, you want to be able to live a normal life and be able to walk and do your things. I just hope his back didn't get jacked up more in this thing. Because that's been his big problem, is his back. Now, maybe he got in a wreck and he fixed his back. Yeah. I don't know. You crack your back, you know.
Who goes to the chiropractor?
Yeah, maybe it's all – that'd be crazy if, like, somehow you got in a wreck and everything got fixed in your back. Because his back is so delicate right now.
That was interesting. I think the recording reports, he was on his way to meet up with Drew Brees and someone else.
Yeah, they're going to a golf tournament to shoot a TV show.
He was just golfing.
Yeah, they were shooting this TV show.
Just the day before, he was golfing with Dwayne Wade.
And David Spade and these guys, they're all out there doing this stuff because the L.A. tour stop is a big deal because it's in L.A.
Sure.
So that ended on Sunday. And then on Monday, he went to this thing. He stayed over a couple of days. He lives in Florida. He stayed over a couple of days to do this TV stuff and do these things at this golf course that wasn't very far from where he was, and he was on his way there. I bet they were freaked out. Where's Tiger?
Oh, my gosh.
Tiger's never late. Oh, gosh. And then, you know, it's pretty funny. This thing, it broke here at 1:30, which is 11:30 out there. It was 4 hours
11:30,
old.
11:30, yeah.
I mean, he the wreck had happened 4 hours before it finally
broke.
Was determined that it was Tiger.
Yeah.
I mean, car crashes happen all the time,
sure.
Everywhere. But I can't believe it took 4 hours for the news to get out that it was Tiger in this car crash.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
It took a long time. We do have to take a break, though, guys.
We don't have to do anything.
We do. If we
Whatever.
Want Jeffrey Flanagan on to talk Royals.
Flanny's not. Have you told Flanny I'm going to be on here?
No, I've not told
Flanny.
And the first thing we're going to ask him is, what is your beef with Lebo?
It'll be great.
So we'll take a quick break.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
This is Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City. With us in studio, of course, is our sports director, Todd Lebo. But we are joined by the man, the myth, the legend. He is a former 18-year columnist for the Kansas City Star. He's an author and writer and used to be the Royals beat writer for Major League Baseball. Join us today for our second segment, Mr. Jeffrey Flanagan. Jeffrey, what's going on with you, sir?
Hey, everything's great. I just actually got my first COVID shot, so I'm feeling pretty strong, pretty brave.
All right. So talking about that right quick, how was it? I mean, were you nervous or anything or what?
No, not at all. I get the flu shot every year anyway, and I'm not afraid of shots or anything. And it went really smoothly. I was impressed. The vaccines are rolling out now, and I thought it'd be impossible to get it, signed up. You know, I don't really fit some of the tears or anything, but I got in, no problem.
You're lucky. I got blood drawn today, and I was passed out.
Sterling, you're lame. Hey, Flanny, it's Lebo. I told these guys you wouldn't be happy when you get to talk to me today.
But now my day is complete, Todd.
You missed it all. Where'd you get your shot? Missouri, Kansas? What county?
It was in Missouri, yeah. It was a bit of a haul, but it went really fast. I mean, it's really efficient. I was impressed. And in and out of there in less than an hour.
My parents get their second one next week, so I'm excited for them to get that, and it'll be good. It's good news. The sun is out, baseball's coming, and the vaccines are rolling out. I think we're working the right direction in the world. I'm excited for that. So that's
couldn't agree more.
Absolutely. It's a lot of fun for sure.
Well, I'll start.
You go, Darren.
No, you got it, Darren. Now I feel bad. I'm jumping over you.
Yeah, don't ever do that again. Jeffrey,
we just have a history. That's all. We just got a long history.
It's all good. Quick question for you now. You know, look, you talked about you had received your ballot for the 2021 Royals Hall of Fame, and, you know, I know you said you'll let the people know your selection eventually, but, I got to ask, when you get a ballot and when you get all the names, what goes into your, into your estimation of what makes a Hall of Famer?
Well, I actually use the same kind of formula that I've used since the late 90s when I got my first Baseball Hall of Fame ballot. And, you know, if a name jumps out to you right away, if it just screams Hall of Famer, I don't even think you have to look at the stats. I mean, I'm talking about guys like, you know, George Brett, Nolan Ryan, and Robin Young, guys like that. And I kind of do the same thing with the Royals to a lesser level because they're not going to have those kind of numbers. I'm not going to reveal who I'm voting for. I've still got another week to think about it.
Right.
But I can't imagine I wouldn't vote for someone like Carlos Beltran because he was one of the most talented players I've ever covered. Certainly had all five tools, had power, you know, tremendous outfielder, great arm, stole bases, could hit for average. He was just a complete player. And, you know, he didn't have a really long career here, but to me it was Royals Hall of Fame worthy career. And then you start crunching the numbers because then it gets kind of hard. You got, you know, the guys I mentioned on the ballot and stuff. It's not, you know, there's maybe not another slam dunk there. But, you know, I'm going to give it a lot of thought. And then you have the whole Yordano Ventura issue, which I had to go through last time he was on the ballot in 2019. And it's not easy because, you know, he was such a fan favorite, and the tragedy of it all. And it's tough because the numbers aren't there. And but what do you do? That's something to think about, too.
So let me just follow up with it. And I ask the question because, like you said, I know when it's based, you know, nationally, big league Hall of Fame, you know, when those names jump out, it does. But when you're looking at it for the organization and you get kind of put with that responsibility, I guess the follow-up question would be, you know, are there certain metrics that you see? Because I know how you talked about Carlos Beltran, but let's just say, obviously, you know, you look at 13, 14, 15, even 16, just that core. If we were looking at, you know, a Hosmer or a Kane or someone like that who played during that era, it was like a 3-4 year period. And, you know, and what they were able to accomplish, what they were able to do and put the team in situations for success. Do you think that things like that would factor in? And I'm just using that as an example, not for these particular people, but, you know, but are there certain metrics that you feel like, you know, former players or players have to make that's kind of, you know, kind of makes it a slam dunk?
Yeah, I mean, if you qualify, if you're on the ballot, you have to give them consideration no matter how, you know, if it's only been 4 years or whatever. To me, I always look at where they rank in the standings in terms of club history. You know, are they top 10 in how many categories? Are they top 15 in how many categories? And there have been mistakes in the past. You know, I thought, you know, I wasn't voting yet at this time, but when Danny Tartable was here, I always felt he should have been in the hall. And he didn't play here long, but he had tremendous numbers. David DeJesus was another guy, too. If you look at the career ranks, where they were and, you know, all the metrics and then, you know, just the standard ones like batting average and hits and stuff like that, doubles, you know, he's up there in every one, and he didn't make it. So, you know, if you're talking about someone like Billy Butler, you know, he's in the top 10 in a lot of categories. Offensively, he wasn't a very good defender, so that's going to work against him. But to me, you just kind of compare him to the guys that are already in the Royals Hall of Fame and where they rank on the all-time Royals list.
Are you more of a peak guy or more of a longevity guy? Because Billy Butler, for example, has that longevity, and obviously Carlos Beltran has that extremely high peak, even if it wasn't for a long time in a Royals uniform. Do you tend to lean one way or the other?
Well, I try to think longevity, just because if you don't, you kind of open it up to too many people, and I think it should be an exclusive club. But you know, the gap between Beltran and Butler was not very much. You know, if you look at their career standings in the Royals all-time list and stuff, you know, Beltran's ahead of him in some of the things too, and he didn't play here as long, so. It's a little bit of both, and that's a kind of a crappy answer, but I tend to lead a little bit more towards longevity.
So Omar for the Hall of Fame.
You know, Flanny, it's interesting.
He was really good, man. He was good in 2014. I don't care what anybody says. He was
my son will
die
on that hill, too. He loved Omar. I don't get it. Johnny Damon's a really interesting guy for this because people, you know, Johnny Damon was a stat filler, man. He scored a lot of runs. They were bad baseball teams. We know that. They couldn't pitch. They could score runs back then. But, you know, Johnny Damon spent more time in Kansas City than anywhere else. I mean, Johnny Damon's like, he has more hits as a Royal than he does as a Yankee or a Red Sox or whatever. I mean, he's got like a higher WAR with the Royals and the others. His career here was, I mean, it was, he's not a Hall of Famer, but he compares in the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame, not too far outside of it, because with all the weird things like runs and all that crap. I mean,
sure, yeah.
But he played for all these teams. But, I'm with you. It's like, it wasn't long enough here. I mean, the Royals Hall of Fame, they've kept it pretty special. The Chiefs Ring of Honor is a little too loose, right? Every year they're throwing someone in there. The Royals don't do that. There's no one in here who hadn't played like 7 or 8 years with the team. And most of these guys we're talking about, because of how baseball works, are like 5 or 6 years, because then they become free agents and they get traded or, you know, things like that. So what are your thoughts about Damon and like where he might be?
And Beltran and Damon are in the same kind of category in terms of how long they played here. And that's tough because, to me, Beltran was the better overall player. So if I'm going him versus him, I'm going to lean Beltran, but that is no knock on what Johnny Damon did here at all, because I'm a big, you know, I know the sabermetric guys don't like stolen bases as much as I do, but he was a base dealer. He created things, and he was a below average defender with a really below average arm, and to me that was a strike against him the last time I voted.
Right.
Which was in 19. So, but it's not an easy decision because he did fill up. I mean, he had some monster years here, as all Royals offensive players did, because the fences were in.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it was like, you know, those guys were hitting 15, 20 home runs, and they didn't do that again, a lot of guys. And so I take that into account, too, because the numbers were inflated. But, you know, I'm glad you brought him up because that's always been – it's been tough. Now, this is Johnny's third appearance on the ballot, and it's been tough. But this is Beltran's first, and a couple other guys are on it for the first time too. So it's going to be an interesting vote.
And Johnny was in the news for the wrong reason this last week, so that probably doesn't help.
No. He doesn't bother me what he did down there.
I know, but, you know, it's just one of those things.
I agree, but, you know, luckily it didn't hurt anybody.
Yeah. It's a pretty big number to be at 8 in the morning.
Jeffrey Flanagan joining us on Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City. Jeffrey, looking at the Royals team this year, what are your, you know, what's your thoughts on the moves that they've made in this offseason? Do you think you may have stepped away from the from covering the team too soon?
I don't feel that. Although, you know, last week, okay. I would have been already headed to surprise, and for the winter that we were going through last week, I had some pangs of going, what did I do? What was I thinking? But, you know, you're right to some degree, because I think this team is going to be way better than a lot of national guys think, because the way they finished in 2020, they really finished strong, and this team got better over the winter. There's no question in my mind. And that's not just the additions, but, you know, the guys themselves that were here should be better. You know, Hunter Dozier didn't have a great year. There were a couple of guys that didn't have great years. Soler was hurt a lot. You get those guys back healthy, producing, then you add a Carlos Santana and Benintendi and other guys like that. Mike Minor, I thought the Greg Holland was a terrific signing. I think there was some hope that maybe they could land Trevor Rosenthal, but that didn't happen. But the bullpen looks strong, like it did last year. I think the rotation is going to be strong. I think Singer and Bubich will probably make it that next level step, and they were very good last year. And then you're going to get some surprises. Some more kids are going to come on the way, maybe a Daniel Lynch or a Kowar, someone like that. So it's a pretty solid lineup in my mind. You know, I think a lot of eyes are going to be on Nicky Lopez, too, because in the American League Central, all those teams can hit 1 through 9 except for the Tigers. And so he's going to have to produce offensively, but he's so terrific defensively, and he takes a lot of runs away. So I think they're going to be a contender. I really do. I think they're going to contend for a playoff spot. I'm not just thinking 80 wins. I'm thinking maybe mid-80s, and they're going to be in until the end.
Making this more difficult on you, take away Benintendi, take away Mondesi, but which player is most intriguing and will have the biggest impact on Kansas City actually making a run for the playoffs?
Offensively or pitching-wise? Or
Either one. Okay. Everyone always says Benintendi or Mondesi, so I got to make it at least a little bit more difficult.
I'm really intrigued to see what Santana brings.
Yeah, me too.
Because, you know, he's such a high on base guy, and they are not really characteristically known for that. And will that rub off on other guys? Sometimes it really does. And when they watch him and go, wow, did you see he took that pitch on 2-2? Well, I would have swung at that. you know, next thing he's standing on first base, and that's what helps win games. And if that kind of rubs off on some of the younger guys, that could be maybe one of the best signings of the offseason league-wide. So I'm really curious about him. And, I'm curious about how the rotation is going to, you know, perform. I'm curious about what Danny Duffy does. You know, he's kind of obviously been up and down. Can he give you 30 starts, 30 good starts? And Bubich, who was good at times, not so good at other times, how will he blend in? I don't think there's much doubt of what Keller can do or Mike Minor or Brady Singer. And I do think the bullpen's going to be among the best in the Central. So, I would say, to answer your question, I would say Santana intrigues me the most.
Jeffrey Flanagan's our guest. And, Jeff, I'm going to ask you like just a general like journalism question right now. You were in the game for a long, long time, worked at the newspaper for a long, long time, and then you got the internet side of the deal. Are we in a good spot right now in sports journalism with just kind of where things are heading? It seems like things are a little uneasy right now. I mean, it's just like I get the paper and it's 2-day-old stories in it. Are they going to keep printing that? Is that good or bad? Is it? I don't know if Twitter's good for sports journalism because I think people get things wrong sometimes. Are we? Are you glad to be getting out of this game? I guess the question.
The best question that someone's asked me in a long time, because I could talk about that.
That's because Lebo stole my thunder.
I mean, I really could talk about that for a long, long time because I have a lot of opinions on it. But if I had a son who is going into college right now, I would tell them not to go into sports journalism because I think that the business is shrinking beyond belief. And I can't speak for radio or TV, but just the print side, it's nasty. And what would happen if, say, 2 years from now, The Athletic folds? And then you have, you know, another 150 really good writers out on the market. I know at MLB, we were shrinking, and laid off like 30 more people a week ago. Newspapers have been laying off, you know, since I left in 2008, and that's not going to get better. I don't see a tremendously bright future. It's just going to be very, very condensed. It's going to be tough to break in. And probably you talk about Twitter and stuff, so people try to do shortcuts and get stories wrong, and that's not good. There's just a lot of things that bother me about the industry, and Twitter's one of them. But there's also some strength to Twitter, too. It's when you break a story, it's kind of fun to get that out first and just see the reaction, the instant reaction, the instant gratification that, you know, in the old days you would have to wait till the next morning and then hear people talk about it on the radio or stuff like that, but now you get it instantly, and that's kind of cool. But the trade-off is, like, a lot of people tend to do it without checking and get things wrong.
Jeffrey, we will definitely have you on just to have that discussion.
I'm all in anytime.
No, I'm sure about it because I was on a Zoom call with some high school students on Monday night, and we were talking about how to get into the business. And I was actually telling them that when I was in high school, I used to steal people's newspapers out of their yard so I could read your article and other folks' articles in the Star at the time when I was in high school back in 90, 92, 93 and stuff like that. So, you know, I used to steal people's newspapers to read your work. So you did. Yeah, hey, well, look, I was stealing knowledge.
I don't even think that's against exactly. the law. If you've been reading my stuff, I think they would have just, you know.
Top of the morning to you. So, hey, here's the deal, Flanny. I consider myself a success as a parent because I have two kids. One of them's a 24-year-old boy, and my daughter's 21. She's a senior in college, and I told them, under no circumstances will you get into this field, and neither one of them are. So I consider that a success.
Good.
As a father,
did I mess up?
Be a veterinarian, be anything but this, because I just don't know how you, if you're, how many grads are we pumping out every year out of college in journalism who want to go into sports journalism? Where are they going
to
go?
Well, what they're all going to have four jobs.
Yeah.
Like, they all got four part-time jobs. I'm going to blog here, I'm going to do this here, because the companies are just not paying, you know, Major League Baseball's got billions of dollars, and they're cutting jobs at MLB, and that doesn't make sense. And they're cutting minor league teams. And then they're going to pay a guy $340 million. You know, doesn't add up to me.
No, and the same is true. It's not just at .com. The same is true at newspapers, too. I mean, you know, when I was at the Star, our sports staff was 60 people. Now they're like, what, six?
I always tell people this story. In 2003, back when Jason worked there, right? And Wright Thompson worked there. And he wrote this story about our radio station. It was kind of a hit piece thing that they had set up because that Jason was Jason, right? Whatever. I'm not going to talk bad about him. But
no, I remember it.
I have that paper still at home. It's like a 24-page Sunday sports page with probably 30 bylines in it from people who were writing stories about whatever. You had people at the freaking Daytona or the Indy 500 covering it, like at the race. I mean, you know, different. Sterling says we got a break. We can't talk about this forever, I guess.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeffrey, thank you so very much for having us. And I promise you, we will have you back on to discuss the journalism field. Jeffrey Flanagan, our guest today. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at FlannyMLB. Thank you so much. Let's take a quick timeout. Come back, close out the show right here on ESPN Kansas City.
Back to ESPN Kansas City right here, Darren and Sterling. Leba, you know this one, right?
Is that Cameo?
Oh.
Are you serious?
Come on, dude. Even Darren's over here knowing it.
No, this is
Wow.
This is from like 19... Straight up, tell me, it's Paul Abdul.
Yeah, Paul Abdul, there you go.
Like, come on, leave.
Yes, Paul Abdul, that was straight up.
She had some bangers. She had some good songs.
And then she had the other one.
Opposites Attract.
Yes. And then she had Things That Make You Go, with Arsenio Hall in it. You remember that one?
That was an actual song?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure it was an actual song she did. I think so. That last one was Black Crowes before that.
Yeah, was this. I'm proud of you, Lee. That was the easy one.
Black Crowes are great. These first two albums are as good as they get.
I think they only
had
Darren? Two albums.
No, they had like five. Yeah. They got progressively worse. Then the Robinson brothers hated each other, and they quit.
Yeah.
What happens?
So you did good. Now, Lebo, look, before we get out of here, because I am curious, what made you get into radio? Because I know starting out you were over at Fox 4, I believe it was, and so or WDF 4 at the time, NBC.
I got into sports because I just liked sports, and so I wanted to be on TV. Right, that's what I wanted.
Yeah, we all do.
But then I wasn't. You know, I mean, look at me. I got a face made for radio or something. So,
and then
I had an internship in college when I was in radio, and I had one in TV, and then I just so happened to be able to get onto the TV station, and I thought it would be cool to work and go to games and get paid and go watch them, and that's what I've done. It's not a great reason to go get a job, you know, but it's what I did. I picked my college to go watch sports. That's probably not a great reason to go pick your college either, and it's worked out for me, but I do think it's hard, man. I've been able to carve out a career in this and have like a job at, you know, a TV station, and I've had a job at a radio station, but it's tough, man. A lot of people, and some of these guys just hoard jobs. You know what I mean? Like, I love Kevin Harlan. Why has he got three jobs? He's got three great jobs. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Give one to us. Give one to the little people.
Yeah. But
or at least get one of me. But Lebo, thank you so very much. We'll do this again next Wednesday. That's your new day and time with us. And I want to thank Jeffrey Flanagan for joining us as well. Sterling, when we come back tomorrow, we are going to talk some NBA basketball if it's the last thing that kills me. So until next time, we'll see you all tomorrow. Make sure you wear your mask and social distance. Stay safe. We are out of here.
That was the CNC Music Factory with Things That Make You Go Home.
Booker got snubbed.